The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Have you seen the latest names to pop up in the Colorado coaching search?
I saw Eric Bieniemy popped up in that search and then apparently popped out of that search, and then they said, maybe he didn't withdraw all the way from. So I don't know what the latest is, but it seems like there's a lot of confusion whether Eric Bieniemy's in or possibly in or possibly out.
This is the headline from USA Today. Evoking comparisons to Patrick Mahomes, quarterback P.J. Walker is XFL's breakout star player.
I don't see really anything about them that seems like, you know what, they remind me of each other. Patrick Mahomes is like a full-size, 6'3", 6'4", type dude.
He's also an MVP and he's a Super Bowl champion.
MVP of the league. You may have to fact-check me on this. Patrick Mahomes, I don't think he's ever been cut from an NFL roster.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Juggalo underscore Trey 48. You can text the show, 713-780-3776. You missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed, all available on podcastarena.com. And we were just talking about that kid. Somebody says, if he's a con artist, it's still okay with me. Dude lost the genetic lottery.
But his mom didn't.
He says, even if he gets $1 billion in donations, I still feel bad for him. I don't.
No, I don't either.
I don't feel bad for anybody who takes advantage of good-natured people.
Yep.
Speaking of good-natured people, Carl Dukes is in the house.
Oh, yes.
That's a hell of an intro. Fellas!
The one and only, the great, the legendary Carl Dukes.
I appreciate that. I do have a good heart sometimes. What is going on, man? How y'all guys doing?
We're living the dream, my man. What about you?
I am terrific, AJ. I am doing well. Fred, it's good to see you.
You too.
H-Town, put them up.
Look at you, man. You were obviously a big star in Houston, and then you left, and you've become an even greater star.
Well, AJ,
who would have thought, Carl?
You know what? You said it. I didn't. I'm not going to debate you and the things that you're saying right now. But it is true. Yes, this is absolutely true.
To think before you left, they were going to bump you to middays and give us your spot.
Yeah.
And then exactly. Now look at you.
Fellas, what's going on,
not
man?
Not much, my man. I wanted to get you on because I saw you on.
You want to talk about the Astros scandal?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I wanted you to speak to the people of H-Town because you're calling for. You want fire. You want Daenerys to come through on a dragon and burn down Minute Maid, it seems.
Daenerys.
Yeah.
Yes. I loved her in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
What'd you think about the ending, by the way? Weak sauce?
Eh. The whole last season was meh to me.
Yeah, I mean, you got me so involved, man. I'm wearing Jon Snow hoodies.
Fred, too.
I was all about it. And then it was just such a letdown. It was a disappointment. Yes. You know? It was like being with a hot chick and then, well, never mind. Yeah.
You find out she has a penis.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I just think that Rob Manfred, his hands are tied, but I also think that he botched this by not giving himself an opportunity to potentially at least appear to punish the players. I understand about the grievances that would have been filed. I understand all of the background in regards to how this probably would have played out. But that doesn't matter when you talk about the court of public opinion. And so for Manfred, he needed to win that. And now by not being able to punish these players accordingly, even if they would have filed grievances and ultimately not been suspended or gotten out of it, it still would have looked like baseball did the right thing. And I think that's what's bothering people outside of Houston, because I've still talked to a lot of people there, and they're like, dude, Dukes, we're getting killed. It sucks, you know? And I hate that for the fans because, again,
the fans didn't cheat.
You guys, we paid our money. We went to these games. We spent our time watching these guys on TV.
Bought Altuve jerseys.
That's not us. So you're not responsible. But around the country, people are pissed. And so they're letting all these frustrations out.
So my argument to what you said would be, if they didn't give the players immunity, we still wouldn't know exactly what went on because no one would have talked. and it'd be kind of like the Mitchell report, where it's great to have this idea of I'm going to talk to the players, but when the players don't have to talk, they're not going to talk. So if there was no like 100% immunity granted, there would be an investigation that would still be going on.
True.
And it would still be leading to nowhere. And honestly, at this point, the Astros would be punished less than they have been had they not given that immunity. Because without the Astros players talking, A.J. Hinch would still be there, and they wouldn't have been suspended. Jeff Luhnow wouldn't be suspended. I mean, it would basically be business as normal because they wouldn't have been able to prove anything yet.
Let's talk about the punishment. You lose your GM.
The best GM in baseball.
You lose your GM. Cheater. Sorry. You lose your manager, okay? And we know this. There were reports about Jeff Luhnow years back.
Yeah, I believe Jeff Luhnow's a cheater.
Okay.
I don't believe A.J. Hinch is a cheater.
No,
I don't think by nature he's a cheater.
And I don't either. But the problem with A.J. is this is where A.J. screwed up. And if he talked to you guys, I'm sure he'd say this. You can't tell me you attempted to stop it and then you didn't.
You're right. Yeah.
By not doing anything, you condone the actions.
Yeah.
It's like a guy calling a guy, you know, a racist on the street saying something to a person of color, and you go, well, he didn't say it to me. If you condone that activity,
right,
you are co-signing it. So that's where Hinch messed up. Here's the part, though, for me to talk about where you're at. You're absolutely right. And an investigation would have gone on. But the punishment itself, let's be honest, $5 million, come on, man, that's cash in his pocket.
It's actually less than what they would have had to spend on the draft picks if they got taken away.
$5 million. And I know it sounds like a lot, H-Town. It's not.
Not to a guy like Carl.
$5 million. Okay, here. Dude pulled out some folding cash. He handed that over.
Right.
I got to get rid of my manager and my GM. Okay, so be it. But your team and your core and your stars are still intact. It's a hell of a team. And they may make another run. The problem is it'll still all be under suspicion. But that to me was not enough punishment in the sense of the guys who were involved. But the immunity part, AJ, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so what would you have done? What would your punishment have been, knowing that you had to have?
Do you believe in title stripping? Do you believe that?
No.
Would?
Here's the thing that I think, and I don't know if it would have worked. Again, we got all these hypotheses, right? Like, if I was him, I would have tried to stagger suspensions. First of all, I would have came out and said, listen, like the FBI, I'm cutting deals. First one to talk gets out.
Yes.
If you're not cutting deals, you've got a problem because we've got the evidence, okay? Because Fires, he was the whistleblower, right? So you had something. So that's the first approach.
You had one guy.
Yeah, but now we know he was telling the truth.
Yes.
But you had to approach it that way. And then I would have staggered suspensions. Here's how you handle it. If you felt like the guys who were involved, ultimately we find out, you stagger suspensions for 25 games without pay. You still have to play these games, but you're playing them 25 without Altuve, 25 without Cora. And that's how you go about this. And I think, you know, you start putting it in those terms, you're wrecking a season because you're completely turning over the lineup night in and night out, and you don't know for 25 games how this team's going to do without their stars. And then I think you feel justified around Major League Baseball. But it didn't happen that way, but that's what I would have tried to do.
So what we've noticed is there's a lot of Dodger fan, Yankee fan, the teams who were good last year or in 2017 who felt like they, if it weren't for the Astros cheating, they would have been the champions. In a market like Atlanta where in 2017 the Braves were garbage, is there still an outcry against this? Like, are Braves fans mad at the Astros about this, or is it just kind of whatever?
No, Braves fans aren't because we haven't been on the cusp of winning a World Series. They get to the playoffs. You've been good.
Yeah.
Acuna's good. I mean, you got some pieces. But if they were in the NLCS.
So you're going to teach Brisket you how to do this?
Am I going to teach them? I'll be one of the professors, yes.
You know, guess what?
I'm assuming I will get the same invite that I got to England.
Guess what? You will get that. You know what they don't want? The in the front row. Ooh, I know.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, you're going to talk about butcher paper? Because one of the things I like to do is butcher paper.
That's exactly why I'm going to Brisket
You. Know who you are?
I don't have to go to Brisket U.
You're the Josh Rosen of barbecue.
You know what they're
saying?
You're
not the Josh.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
That's the most disrespectful thing.
Yes, you are.
You always think you have the answer.
He's been waiting. He's been waiting to use this. He finally found a little gold. The most disrespectful thing you could say about to somebody is,
Josh
you're
Rosen.
The Josh Rosen of anything.
The Bench, weekdays from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN 97.5.
All right, I want to make sure that we make it clear that was not Trey's fault that we got dropped there.
No.
Who's responsible?
Yeah,
I want somebody's ass right now.
Jim Crane.
It was Nick Sciarra.
Who did that? I'm trying to talk to Houston. Who the hell did that?
So we were saying that the Braves fans aren't upset about this because they haven't really been a relevant force, especially when that was going on.
No. So
let's face it. The Braves would probably cheat to win a World Series.
Okay, stop that. No, they wouldn't.
Oh, come on.
They're not going to cheat. They tried that already. Listen.
Atlanta starved for a championship.
John Coppolella, you guys know this story? The former general manager of the Braves has been basically suspended for life for basically paying international players before he should have. Honestly, this is what he got. He's banned for life. You got the Astros, A.J. Hinch, and Jeff Luno not banned for life, who just won a damn World Series. So, back to your point. No, they didn't play in the NLCS. If they were on the cusp of winning a World Series, they may feel differently. I just think Nick Markakis, who came out, I think that's where you're going, is just upset as from a player standpoint that, you know what, you cheated the other guys around baseball.
Here's what I think about the players being so vocal about this. When the steroid stuff was coming out, no players wanted to say anything because they knew either they were doing it or one of their teammates was doing it. This, because it was so specified to two teams, really, it was pinpointed, they could say, we're going after these guys because there's no backlash of, wait a minute, we were doing the same thing, damn. So I think it's emboldened players to talk when, in the past, they knew if they talked out, they were throwing one of their teammates under the bus, too.
It's a great point. And, AJ, I think, you said it. I don't think anybody in baseball would deny another player for getting a new deal, getting more money, Fred, which is what happened in the steroid era, right? Extending your livelihood or your time in the league. Nobody's going to cry about that because ultimately they know it all runs out.
Right.
At some point, it all ends for everybody. So that was different, and you were protecting teammates because it was so systemic across the league. This is a team systemically doing something that everybody knew in that clubhouse was wrong, and that's where guys take offense to it. You're absolutely right. So now I can say, hey, you know what? This is how I feel about it.
But you got to admit, listen, Atlanta, it ain't far behind Houston as far as sad sack sports
goes. Oh, bro, listen.
You're telling me
come on,
fans would be mad if their team cheated a little bit and won a championship?
No.
They'd get over it.
Well, here's the thing. You know, everybody says that. I always say this. It doesn't matter until it's you, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter until your wife calls and it's like, what's going on? Things change when it involves your team. But I will say this. You know, there's plenty of heartbreak to go around. So, you know. I mean, people are still clowning 28-3. I mean, you can't run from that. Houston Astro fans, you can't run from this. This is, as I said in Atlanta, we just got to take this. Like, when we lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, you just got to take this.
Yeah.
You just got to own it and take it and say, all right, well, hopefully we get a shot to get back there. If the Astros get back to the World Series and win, then you can't this literally, and I'm not going to say it goes away, but it certainly fades.
Oh, yeah.
But until that point, again,
it's always questioned.
This is what it is, man.
That's the great Carl Dukes. Appreciate you hanging out, man.
Who's responsible?
It's always good to see you.
Who the hell cut me off?
Carl will be. He'll actually be ringside tomorrow. He's he's secured very fancy seats, and he'll be sitting with Evander Holyfield, another Atlanta native. So Carl's got all the connections out there. It's going to be a big show for everybody.
Hey, you guys know it. I love you guys. Miss H-Town. I still got friends and family there, man. And as I always say, H-Town put me on, so I do nothing but rep. But I will say this. These guys were hitting me up being pissed off at me about saying some of the stuff that I said. I'm not mad at fans, but you got to understand why guys are mad at players.
Yep.
And that's where we're at.
Yeah, hey, they brought it on themselves, man.
I'm happy for your success, brother.
Thank you, man. Enjoy that Hey Man Ale
right there. I will, man. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
AJ, Fred, good to see you guys.
All right, brother.
All right, Carl Dukes.
We'll hit a break. We'll be back with RJ Bell.
And company.
You're looking live from Las Vegas.
All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz live from Las Vegas, the MGM Grand for Wilder Fury 2, where we were not arrested like Adrian Broner apparently just was. And that music means it is time for the legend himself, the gambling guru of America, RJ Bell, joins us, pregame.com, and I presume Steve Fezzik as well. What's going on, RJ?
Uh-oh.
Oh. Damn, he had a perfect game going.
Thought he was with y'all because y'all were in Vegas. Let me go get that connected.
Oh, Jesus. Ugh.
Well.
Yeah, Broner apparently was arrested and taken away by cops at the Wilder Fury weigh-in. Apparently he was told in November that he was not allowed to visit the property. No reason why. But he showed up at the weigh-in. He was asked to leave, but he blew him off. So hotel security detained him until the police took over, per TMZ.
All right.
And they're told Broner's being taken to the county jail, where he will be processed before being released with a misdemeanor trespassing citation. So there you go. He hasn't fought since January 2019.
All right.
And, yeah. Yeah. TMZ says Broner, 33-4-1, once considered one of the best boxers in the world. Was he ever considered one of the best boxers in the world?
He's considered one of the great unmet potentials of the world.
Yeah, I don't know that he was ever one of the considered one of the best. But anyway, well, we'll get to hopefully get RJ sorted out. Poor Trey was doing so well. God, I almost said something about, man, you're pitching a perfect game. Okay, let's try this again. The gambling guru of the universe, the great one himself, pregame.com, RJ Bell. Oh, come on, man. Jesus. All right, I guess we don't have him. Well, all right, well, just to remind you, we're at the MGM Grand for Wilder Fury 2. And Saturday night, make sure you pick it up on pay-per-view. It's going to be worth it. Weigh-ins were a little while ago, and it's going to be a good fight. So if you get an opportunity, go and either go watch it somewhere or
so Christian's fight. Tailgate's going to be showing it. No cover.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a couple places in Houston, but yeah.
Like all the Christians?
I think so.
Okay, so there's one midtown that's a good one. There's one downtown that's a good place to watch. So, yeah, go check that out then. I think that is definitely worth doing if you're going to go out on a Saturday night. Go hit one of those places and watch the fight.
Yep.
That's pretty cool, no cover. So,
all right, Trey, what's going on? You got to talk us through this.
I got him. Fez is testing.
But is he there and can he hear us?
Yeah.
All right, we'll put him on the air then.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Hold on one second.
Hold on.
Yeah,
oh,
no, come on, man.
They're testing. I'm sorry. I thought they would be there today. That's on me.
Yeah, that's you can't make that kind of assumption, man.
Yeah, that's on me.
Clearly. So. And. Oh well, I was hoping we were going to be.
All right, they're ready.
All right. If I introduce him again,
we're not going through a long introduction. I hope RJ and Fezzik are there.
Yeah. I've already said nice things about him.
Yeah,
so.
All the nice things have been said. RJ, Fez, you guys there?
Yes, I am. Hello, hello.
Oh, hello.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vegas,
burned a couple. We burned a couple good intros on you, but it's good to have you on now.
Hey, listen, I like that, right? It's kind of like anticipation. You know when you go to a rock concert, and in the rock concert, they say 8 o'clock, but it's never 8?
Yeah.
It's like that.
And then, like,
no,
you know.
I do have a oh, good.
I was going to say at 8:15 when it's dark and then you hear that first drum kick and people go crazy because they think it's about to start. Yeah, I feel what you're saying.
So here's the question. The producer / board op / whatever, when he said, oh, I made the assumption that they would be there.
Yes.
Who was he referring to?
He was referring to you guys. He thought because we were in Vegas and you guys are in Vegas that you must be here live with us.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, we should have canceled our national show.
Right.
And came down and hung out on Radio Row with you guys.
No big deal.
That's
no
my bad. I'm sorry.
Or you could have done the national show from here.
Yes, there's nothing like hearing all the wah, 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 wah in the background.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not an on-site guy.
Stephen A. Smith is here doing a show.
Who is?
Your boy, Stephen A. He's been here all day.
Oh, that's awesome. Listen, Stephen A. loves boxing, and I'll tell you this, and it's absolutely true. When Stephen A.'s walking, there's no one on Radio Row that gets half the attention of Stephen A.
I'd argue that.
No. Watch him when he walks. I mean, people aren't going to go and pose themselves to him. When he walks, he can't get two steps.
Well, we have a pro wrestler who works at our station, Booker T.
Okay.
And
yeah. I know Booker T.
The guy, you can't walk anywhere without people stopping this guy to take pictures, and he's like the nicest dude. But I think pro wrestling is... It's always been much bigger than I've wanted to believe it was. But when I'm around him, I start to realize that it's – I mean, in ways, pro wrestling is bigger than sports.
Well, here's the thing to think about, and this is going to be something a lot of people disagree with, and it's going to be out of ignorance. And I'm not judging them, just stating a fact. Ultimately, when the story's written on this – era, and let's call 1945, you know, 1950, let's say, TV becoming, you know, at least not, you know, they say that Hitler in 36 was the first broadcast that had any power. Remember the movie Contact? They talked about that. Is Fez, you saw Contact?
Yeah.
Great movie. So let's say 1950. From 50 till whenever we get to the point that we're in virtual reality, you know, there'll be augmented reality will be the prevalent way we consume things, I think, soon enough. And we're seeing that now to some degree. That era, I think we're going to see pro wrestling as a mixing of all the approaches of the era, meaning it was on television, obviously. It was sports, and we've been sports crazy for all these years. But it was something that emphasizes drama. And isn't it interesting, as I finish this, AJ's, you as a former MMA guy, a guy that's, you know, pedigreed in the MMA world, that everyone laments, oh, wouldn't it be nice if these champions could keep the title more than three fights? Or if they could fight, you know, Ronda Rousey, you know, going from unbeatable to she couldn't compete against seemingly any top flight opponent. Why? Because it was the vagaries of sports, of injury, of life. If you get to write the story, right, you can decide who wins the election. You can decide who wins the match. You can decide if there's a false count. And if you execute it where it feels like sports and you don't know the answer, right, but it's orchestrated for the heightened drama, it really is like not necessarily the highest form of entertainment, but a form of entertainment unlike any other, and you can make the case a true genius. Like McMahon probably is, but imagine like a guy as good at wrestling promotion and creation as, let's say, a great filmmaker like Stanley Kubrick or whatever. Wouldn't that match, like if, I think the height, last thing, the height of wrestling was WrestleMania, to me, was WrestleMania III, Andre Hogan.
Of course.
Because you had 20 years of Andre, Hogan was a phenomenon. And I'll tell you right now, very few movies excited me as much, or sporting event. I was not as excited at the start of the Super Bowl this year as I was at the start of WrestleMania 3. So, yeah, I think we could say it's goofy, but I think there's a lot more to it than that.
You know, it's funny when you were talking about the Ronda Rousey thing and how quickly she fell off. I have a buddy who listens to the Dream Preview, and he sent Yeah, very smart guy. Sent me a text because I was on the Dream Preview this week, and he was saying, oh, it was great hearing you there. And he had some commentary for me on it that Fezzik brought up. And Fezzik thinks that Tom Brady is Ronda Rousey, like that Tom Brady's skills have fallen off to the point where basically everybody is better than Tom Brady now. Is that the case, Fezzik?
Here's all you got to know. Two things, and we'll let Fez answer. One is, and Freddie the Beetle will like this, we've got a little thing for AJ now, and here it is.
The wickedest man in the world.
So I think it's true, so I like it. Number two, this is all you need to know about Fez and his quarterback rankings. If the Colts traded Jacoby Brissett for Tom Brady straight up, he would downgrade the Colts. Please respond.
Well, you look at the two quarterbacks last year, and they weren't far apart at all in the overall statistics. And is Jacoby Brissett going to get worse? No. Is Tom Brady going to regress at 43 versus 42? History says that is the age. Well, history actually says quarterbacks fall off the cliff at 41.
So he's transcending history.
Well, he's clinging from the top of the cliff at age 42. Let's see how he does at 43.
So where would you say?
Think about that. Got it.
I would say, where do you have him ranked in your quarterback rankings now, Fez?
Brady, number 20.
Who's ahead and behind him?
So 18 is Brissett, 19 Murray, and Bridgewater, 21, Goff, 22.
Wow. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Well, I think interesting is a generous way to say it. Is think about this. These are guys he has ranked ahead of Tom Brady. Kyler Murray, Brissett, Josh Allen, Carr from Oakland, Fitzpatrick, who might not even start another game, Jimmy G, all
honestly,
ahead of Brady.
I'm starting to think that Jared Goff may be too low, too. That's a guy who was damn near the MVP 2 years ago, and now you're throwing him behind Kyler Murray and Josh Allen. This is, oh, boy. I'm worried about these rankings, Fez. I hope you know what you're doing.
Well, you know, here's what's interesting. Let me ask you guys a question. Where would you put Joe Burrow his first game?
Depends on where he winds up.
Well, yeah, Joe Burrow with the Bengals.
Cincinnati, let's assume.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably put him outside the top 25, certainly.
Yeah, Fez has him 31. And I hear his point, right? Unproven. I had about 7 or 8 really strong objections to his rankings. Probably my strongest couple, and I'll see what you guys think. So let's go 1 to 35, because there's a couple quarterbacks, you know, that are half starters, half not, you know, like Flacco. Obviously, Minshew, you could say that about, et cetera. Where do you think – I'm just going to say 1 to 35. Where do you put – understanding his health is uncertain, okay? So what we know for sure is if he's healthy, he's better. If he's not healthy, he's worse. All right, that's the easy part. Cam Newton.
So we're saying where do I rank him given his health issues?
Yeah, we're saying there's a chance he's going to be healthy. I mean, to me, unless he's just shot for his life at this point, when you have a year off, he's going to be recovered from whatever it is that was ailing him. Now, he is going to be 30. You know, he is the age he is. So, you know, but he's 30. All right, so he's not – I mean, where is Cam Newton?
I would say – and then is this under the assumption that Cam Newton is playing for the Carolina Panthers?
AJ, this isn't science. Cam freaking Newton.
I think he's in the top 20.
I'd go top 15.
Okay, so can you give a number? Is there anything we can say that you'd give a number?
Wickedest man in the world.
I haven't made a list of my top. I haven't ranked mine 1 through 35.
All right. So, but you'd say 18, it sounds like.
That's probably fair.
Okay. Fezzik has Cam Newton number 28.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy is right.
Oh.
All right. Now. Next objection. And let's get the Beetle in here. Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton to me is 24, 25, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I think that's even maybe generous at this point. I'd probably put him in 28, 27, 28 yeah. range.
You and Fez agree generally. I think Andy Dalton, I guess here's the question. When you say these days, right, Andy Dalton is 32. Would we agree that at 32 there is no drop-off? That literally in 2020, if you're 32 as a quarterback, I'd make the case, and it's kind of hard because Peyton Manning has, you know, he was 32 now like 10, 11, 12 years ago. So the nutrition's gotten bad or the training. Today, if Tom Brady was doing what he was doing today, I don't think you'd see any drop-off. I mean, did Brady have any drop-off the Eagles Super Bowl year? Right? Or I would make the case he was at 100% at that point.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, he might have gained some things. He lost some others. I mean, Andy Dalton is not limited by his age. So when you say these days, I don't understand that.
Well, these days, I mean, new quarterbacks come into the league, quarterbacks leave the league. That adjusts where Andy Dalton fits.
No, that's a great point. So you're saying Andy Dalton's playing as well as ever.
No, he's not playing as well as ever.
Him. He was an all-pro, literally, or he made the Pro Bowl. He
made the Pro Bowl. That's done an all-pro.
No, that's why I said made the Pro Bowl. So I corrected myself.
Okay.
Thank you. So he made the Pro Bowl, and now he's playing just as well, but he's almost the worst quarterback in the league.
He's not playing just as well, though. The year he made the Pro Bowl, he had a QB rating of 106.3. This year he was a 78.3. That's a massive drop-off.
Okay.
And that was 5 years ago.
I mean, no, I agree that, and kudos for being able to look up the passer rating. But what I'm saying is he throwing the ball worse, or is he in a circumstance like you said with Cam Newton?
Where he's in a horrible circumstance, yes.
Okay. And my point would be this is – if you're, and maybe that's where you do really got to drill in to the decimal point like you did, AJ. Are we talking about with this coach, with this schedule coming up? You know, like at what point do we stop and say if we were redrafting, I think Andy Dalton, now we're back to, are you redrafting for the next 10 years? Are you redrafting for 1 year? If you're redrafting for 1 year, Andy Dalton goes 18 or so for me.
Wow. Okay.
And I think that everything you guys are saying, I see in Fez, I see why you're saying it. I don't understand logically how it's him, because they made the playoffs how many times? Not that long ago?
Yeah, something like 5 out of 6 years, right?
I mean, or 4 out of 7. I mean, it was like as much as hardly anyone but the Pats or whatever. So I don't think Andy Dalton's like had an injury he's never recovered from. Is he physically any worse? I don't know. I'm an Andy Dalton guy, though I don't think Andy Dalton's ever going to lead you to Super Bowl. But I'm not sure how much better Jimmy G is than Andy Dalton, to be honest with you. I really don't.
I'm curious, where did you have Jameis Winston slotted?
23. Here, you got your...
Yeah, I got it.
I stole a copy. Go ahead.
No worries. Yeah, so Winston, obviously, he has potential to be much, much better, but those 30 interceptions, is he ever going to be able to clean that up?
So you would rather
he hasn't done it yet.
You'd rather have Jameis Winston than Cam Newton?
Yes.
It's not even close.
Yeah, I don't think.
And I got to add.
I think I'd rather have Cam.
This is why I hate being a bookmaker, because these are my Fezzik opening quarterback ratings. I'm basically putting out openers, and I think RJ's bringing up some excellent points and questioning.
If I put out
these
my numbers, you wouldn't be able to pick them off. I mean, that's crap. I get saying that if you have too much work to do and you got to put out 80 things in a day, what other ratings have you put out recently in the last 3 days?
Just the NBA power ratings.
All right, so you are adjusting by ticking up. And let's see, how many NBA games has there been in the last week?
There's been 5.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is I get it. You can have blind spots, but, don't, you know, it's a blind spot.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right? And sometimes there are difference of opinions. Like, these guys agree with you on Andy Dalton. And I would be very comfortable personally betting, you know, and we might have a bet here, because if we can find a way, or if Andy Dalton signs somewhere else and is going to start, we can do a QBR bet.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Fezzik's strength, which has been the XFL.
NFL, I thought it was.
No, it's XFL now. He's no longer an NFL expert. He's an XFL expert. 2-0 on our show.
NFL expert.
He's still an NFL expert.
Let me ask one last question. Where would you guys put for these two, but it can be a 1-2, boom, boom, Mayfield and Darnold, 1-35?
Ooh. I think I like Darnold better than Mayfield, but Mayfield's just in so much better of a situation. He's got so much more talent around him. I mean, they're both in the 20s. I'd say probably 26, 27 range.
Wow. Freddie the Beetle, what do you think?
I'm kind of with AJ on this. I have Darnold ahead of Mayfield talent-wise. But, yeah, I lower 20s for me.
Wow. So
what say you?
Are you as 20? I feel like it's weird because I am such on the anti-Darnold corner because Colin Cowherd – and listen, Colin's been great to me, but we always say there's no sacred cows or cowherds. Is I probably bash him more than anyone because I know I can do it with good cheer, and he knows. But I think that somehow he has 5%. I don't think this, but I wouldn't be crazy. No, I would be shocked because he's so ethical. But if he was someone else and he had 5% of Sam Darnold's future earnings somehow locked up, the way he acts about Darnold wouldn't change. Maybe that's the way to say it. If somehow we found out that Colin made $1 million every time Darnold made 10, I think his actions would all start making sense, Collins. Because he never says a bad word about him. And if he had like the worst game in the history of the world that Monday night against New England, and he came on explaining why it doesn't mean anything. And thus, I want to be anti them. But on another level, the idea that Teddy Bridgewater is somehow better than Sam Darnold, it just doesn't make sense to me. Darnold does things every game that Bridgewater just can't do. And I get that it's not just all upside, but I don't know.
Freddie the Beetle is higher on Teddy Bridgewater than I am, but he's also a Bridgewater guy. Are you saying that you like Mayfield more than Darnold?
No, see, that's the thing, too. Part of me likes Mayfield because of what he did the year before. I mean, he was good. Though, if you look at QB ranking, he was QBR, he was only 20. You know, the funny thing is this right, Fez? He had a better QBR in 19, Mayfield did, than 20.
Yeah, because
I don't think that's possible.
Remember, he got so much better the second half of the year, and he was horrible in the first half of the year.
I don't think he was horrible. I don't remember any time we were talking about how horrible that Mayfield was his rookie year. But remember, did you correct yet that you didn't use the right QBR?
I'll go back and double. No, I haven't gone back to them.
At what point are you going to do that?
This one.
Yeah, it's a – Fez, listen, when you work an hour a week, it's tough to get it all done.
There's only so many hours in the week, they say.
Yeah, Fez has been working hard, though. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Fez do his XFL. I got to cut out. I don't know what – why don't you guys text me? We'll see what the schedules are. Hopefully we can see each other. I mean, you can't – listen, a Vegas trip without the Beetle isn't a Vegas trip, in my opinion.
Well, it is for me. But, yeah, we'll reach out and see what you guys are up to tomorrow.
Wait, Fred, were you implying coming to Vegas and seeing me or not seeing me didn't matter?
He doesn't care, he says.
No,
is that
it's
what
a,
you were saying?
He doesn't care one bit.
No, what I'm saying is – I come to Vegas, and there is the Beetle in Vegas. So, you know, I don't have to live without a meeting me. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying you have the great pleasure of always being with yourself.
Of always being himself.
Of pleasuring myself. That's correct.
Well, listen, all I know is this. When a little fellow called The Rock came to Vegas.
And RJ, we trust you. What's up? Come on, baby. Here we go.
Let's get it.
Tuition paid.
So, okay, that's fine. I mean, if Ballers represents, you come to Vegas and you're a baller, you're playing craps with RJ. But Fred Faur, F-A-O-U-R, too cool, too cool.
RJ, we appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll be in touch.
That was a pretty good comeback, Fred, let's be honest.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, I'll give you the points. I'll award you the points.
All right, hopefully I'll see you guys, and Fez has his XFL.
Awesome.
All right, what's the side this week, Fez?
All right, the side is Sunday Night Football, L.A. plus 8.5 versus D.C. It's all about the D.C. defenders being overvalued. They're 2-0. They've looked good, but they've had two home games, and look at their strength of schedule for D.C. They played the two worst teams in the XFL, and now D.C. has a bad spot. So they have to fly across the country. They're going to Los Angeles. The game's going to be a late start time. D.C.'s used to early start time, so the change in the time could well impact D.C. Further, we talked about strength of schedule. L.A.'s had the hardest strength of schedule. They had to play two of the best teams in the XFL. So because of that, it lands me on L.A. plus 8.5.
Can they really get used to playing their early game in two games?
Well, I think it's just a matter of routine. And I would argue, hey, with the limited scheduling and practice before the league starts, this could well be an even more egregious schedule spot. And then you got a team that is comfortable. They start at 11 o'clock Pacific time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 o'clock Eastern, back-to-back games for weeks one and two. And now they're suddenly playing 6 o'clock. It's any kind of change in your routine is going to cause problems, especially when things have gone as well as they have for D.C. They really haven't had much adversity so far, and now they're facing a lot more of it.
All right.
All right. Well, you've been on a roll with this, so let's hope it continues. Fez, appreciate the time, man, and hopefully we'll run into you guys tomorrow somewhere.
You never know. You might catch me on the blackjack table again.
That's right.
All right, Steve. Take care, man. We're going to take a quick break and come back with one final segment for the week. How about that?
That's it.
So don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One final segment to go, and let's jump right in with something we close the show out with every week. Let's do a little stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
Sometimes you just gotta crotch chop dudes and be like, hey, eat my ass. We're the champs. Up yours. But Astros fan can't live that way. It's not in their DNA.
I think they should go to the shack, tell me how my ass tastes.
Yeah. I don't have an NBA All-Star Game power rankings, unfortunately.
Really?
No.
Why not?
I've thought about keeping one, but...
You should.
It's a lot of work.
Because people care. When they make a bold statement like that, they want you to be able to say, whoa, wait a minute.
Wait a minute there.
Wilbur? There's one of Palillo and some woman also.
I told you.
On the one I'm looking at.
Yeah. A lot of people think Charlie Palillo is your wife.
Have you seen him in drag?
No. I mean, Fred did come in here after he had a stroke. But, again, strokes aren't contagious. Fred's not going to give me a stroke by sitting in the room with me while he has a stroke.
Yeah, and
Bane's solid, but, I mean, come on.
Well, of course, Bane, you couldn't understand talk. And when he and Batman are trying to talk...
Of course you can understand what I'm saying.
I'm Batman. No, but...
Bane,
yeah,
we finally come to an agreement. You don't understand me. I don't understand you.
I've never understood you, Batman.
Why do you sound so muffled?
Why do you sound the way you sound, Batman?
It's very odd that those two that conversing.
Longhorn Dimitri says, breaking news, ChinaMap just canceled their deal with ESPN 97.5.
Oh.
Thanks, dickweed. Thanks
at
a lot.
At least we still have North Korea map.
Yeah, well, that one hasn't launched yet.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Hey, we're having a hard time getting it off the ground.
Yeah, it's it's like they're missiles.
You're right. Some races age better than others. They say black don't crack.
I would say black men and Asian women.
It's odd that Asian women seem not to age much. Asian men all look like they're 200 years old. I don't know very many middle-aged looking Asian men. You're either a young looking Asian man or you show up one day and you're 100.
Yeah.
Like you're
Dr. Fu Manchu.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. But then if I die before then, I'll be Soylent Green.
I'll be eating Fred protein.
Oh, you guys all will.
And then they're Eskimo brothers on top of that.
It's all very strange.
Did Bane actually...
I think so. I mean...
Because he was a little kid when he was rescuing her.
Yeah, but then she grew up.
Yeah, I guess that happens.
Then a hero... And look at those muscles on that guy. Come on.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Especially when he pumped that steroid juice.
All for it.
You like what you see?
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We said this week.
Oh, fun week. I think Bane's going to have to make more appearances on the show. That was pretty damn good. I mean, I thought it was good live, but listening to the replay, that was even better than I thought. All right. Well, guess what? That's going to wrap it up, boys. We're going to go and have some dinner with Eric Sandler, and then some poker tonight, and then the fight tomorrow night. We will be back on Monday. Trey, you did a really good job. One pick six there, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's on me. I'll take it out of my wrist later.
One Jameis, don't do that, Trey.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you actually did a really, really good job this time. And you've come a long way. We appreciate the extra work because I know you weren't expecting to do it, so thank you for that.
No problem.
And so,
we gotta ride our horses, Fred.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him an A. Would have been an A plus, but he's getting an A. Hoppin was really good today, he gets an A plus. That was pretty solid. Gonna give myself a C. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy the fight. Go watch it somewhere or make sure you buy it. Till Monday, stay sports, you bitches.